Good afternoon to all, as I mentioned each and every week that I stand before you and our great God about opportunities that God has given us to be here. Beautiful day outside, you know, and one of the things I was kind of remarking on when I got out of the car to walk into the building, I said, it's not noon. But that sun is burning hot already. And my wife says, there's no ozone layer. It's about gone. I said, that's it. That's it. Because I do remember as a child growing up, you could, you know, especially in the South, you know, they had so much moisture in the air, you could actually see it. You could actually see it, that Gulf flow that comes up. And you have that kind of like a hazy, bright, sunny look to the day, and it just felt wonderful. But now, times are changing, and so we have to adjust our thermostat just a little bit about what's going on. But to begin this message today, God has placed before us a wonderful opportunity that comes to us in our lives that frame for us the meaning and the understanding of this one of his wonderful word. God has not left us without circumstances and events that seal the deal for us. Mankind see these events, and most see them as anomalies. You know, can't understand it without explanation. But God is here for us. And will always be in his place where he never moves. It is with great joy and wonder that we as Christians can sit here today and speak of the wonderful opportunity that God has placed before us. I will speak today about events in this world that has brought about the immediate agency or the simple volition of God, operating without the use or means of being discerned by the senses and designed to authenticate the truth of his message. Now we see in John 2 and in verse 18, and you look in the book of John, and you see numerous miracles that Christ undertook at that time. You look in verses, chapters 4 and 5, you see many of them there. But in John 2, 18, it says, so the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us, since you do these things? And they're speaking about these miracles that Christ had performed. They wanted to know because, as I just read, the senses see, touch, taste, smell was outside of the realm of these things. And so they wanted to know, how do you make a lame man get up and walk from his childhood that he has never walked? And yet you lay hands on him and he walks. They wanted to know. The scribe and the Pharisees, Matthew 12, verse 38, speaks about, we want to see a sign. What is the sign? And so Jesus Christ engaged them, and he spoke to them in a manner that they could not understand. Because they could not see what was done in front of them. And so they wanted to know, is this from below Satan's realm, or is this from above? They wanted to know, where do these things come from? And how are you, in their minds, they're thinking, how are you beguiling me? How are you using this trickery to fool my senses, where I can see, hear, feel, touch, smell? where it's outside of that realm. It is an occurrence that is above nature and above man. It shows the intervention of a power that is not limited by the laws of either matter or of mind. A power interrupting the fixed laws which govern their movement, and it is a supernatural power. To put it simply, that which bears truth that the universe is not under the exclusive control of the physical forces, but that everywhere and always there is above, separate from all else, an infinite power that controls all physical causes, acting with or without them. God effects this purpose through the agency of second causes. But he has the power also of effecting his purpose immediately without the intervention of second causes. Thus we affirm the possibility of events of a higher hand intervening to control or reverse nature's ordinary movements. And we'll get into some of those movements and things that God showed us physically that he did in times past. It says, let us look at the example found in the book of Joshua and Habakkuk. Joshua 10 in verse 13. Joshua 10 in verse 13. Here we read where the sun stood still. Now here's this supernatural power that God is showing mankind that, look, I'm here. These things you have no knowledge of how I do this. So let us read. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. Now Israel was in the midst of a fight here. And their enemy said, wait until it gets dark. We will have our way. And God says, no. I'm going to forestall that nighttime. And the sun stood still for an entire day, right there. Did not move. Night did not come. And so their enemies were perplexed because they wanted to know what's going on here. What trickery are we looking at? In the book of Habakkuk 3 and verse 11, we read, the sun and the moon stood still in their habitations. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittering spear. Again, God's reaffirming what we just read in the book of Joshua about how that sun and the moon stood still. Supernatural miracles done here on this earth and then outside of the senses of any man or animal. These events and miracles were beyond comprehension. Can you imagine what those people were thinking when they saw those events? Again, let us look in the book of Isaiah for another event where God is speaking through inspired words. Isaiah 38 and verse 8. Isaiah 38 verse 8. He says, behold, I will bring the shadow of the sundial, which has gone down with the sun, on the sundial of Ahaz. 10 degrees backwards. 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which he had gone down. Explain that one. God is ruler of all. And this is one of the things that Satan continued to purport here on this earth, that God the Father does not exist. We look at evolution. They still spout that we came from one cell amoeba in this little dank pool somewhere, and we've grown into the most complex being on the face of this earth. But yet they say it was an accident. Now, do you think you were an accident of how DNA, chromosomes that are in your body, and all of the little things that make you, you, and how you are a human being, that you have self-awareness about yourself and the people around you and about your environment? And God has gone one step further, and he has enlivened you with his spirit. He has unlocked that door that you can see him and his son. The rest of the world, they're under a cloud, and the Bible speaks about that, and we know this. And here, as we just read in Isaiah 38, verse 8, about that sundial. You think Ahaz had a a little bit of a seizure there when he saw that? That can't be happening. The Pharisees, we want a sign. How are you doing this? Again, this is a telling moment in the lives of the people who witness these events. But today, let us look more closely at the wondrous works of God and how he have meaning for us and how we can better understand our great God going forward as Christians. If you define that, these two words, wondrous works, in the Hebrew, pela, P-A-L-A, which means to do something great, extraordinary. The word is used to describe an action or an understanding beyond the normal capacity of humans. So let us read some of the scriptures here as we begin this journey. Go to the book of Psalms. Okay. Psalm 71, verse 17. Psalm 71, verse 17. Let's read here. It says, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Psalm 107, verse 8. Psalm 107, verse 8, and says, Oh, that men will give thanks to the Lord of his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 119, verse 27. 119, verse 27. Make me understand your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. And here, this kind of gives us a little bit of a guidepost as we begin our journey on this walk here, to look at and to frame in our lives how these wonderful works of God defines God and defines you as a Christian. The highest sense of the word is reserved for God and God alone. Nothing is too marvelous for him. Point one, he is wonderful in counsel. Genesis 18, verse 14. Genesis 18, verse 14. It says, Is anything too hard for the Lord? Question. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Remember that? 90 years old, 90 plus years old, and she laughed. God said, What are you laughing about? Oh, I didn't do that. Because when God was speaking to Abraham, she was listening in. And he said, Sarah's going to give him a child. Poof. And then that laugh went up and the curtain probably fell down on the ground. And God wanted to know, why are you laughing? Because you will give birth to this child. And it happened. And it says here, going back to the book of Genesis, is anything too hard for the Lord? He made us. He pulled us from this primal earth and put breath into Adam. And here we are. Isaiah 28, verse 29. Speaking about God's wonderful counsel. Isaiah 28, verse 29, it says, this also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. We let God's word speak for itself. I don't stand here and embellish and speak about things that are not in this book. But let God speak to you about the subject and matters that he wants you to know. And today, we speak about his wonderful wonders. The things that the world is denying. That cosmos that's above your head. It's wonderful, beautiful, dangerous. We can't live there. We're here. On this earth, this little terrestrial ball that God created for man is his nursery, incubator that gives life and where life can be brought to its full circle. And so we look at the next point. We look at the cosmos, the wonderful works there. Psalm 107, verse 24. Psalm 107, verse 24. And it says, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Watching the Science Channel about a month ago, and they had these series on concerning things out there. And they have discovered that there are large planet-sized orbs that are just flailing away out in the interstellar darkness where they should be circling a sun, a star. And there's many of them that are just circling in darkness. We do have to remember that God is not a God of confusion. When he created this physicalness, it was beautiful. And you read about that in the book of Job. He says, when the angels saw it, they stood up and they all jumped for joy when they saw how beautiful the cosmos and this earth was. Because he made that in an instant and he brought it into being. We see the remnants of when Satan was thrown out of heaven, that he came down with a hacksaw and he just tore things up on his way down. The beauty that God had established there and here, he tried to destroy because he knew the plan. He knew the plan of God and those wonderful works that God had done. And in his heart, he had surmised that I will be a fly in the ointment here. And he is. He is. He will have his time, and then he will be locked away. And as we read in Job 37, verse 14, here is a teachable moment. For Job. Job 37, verse 14, it says, "Listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wonderful works of God." And it goes on to say in a lot of scriptures about, where were you when I laid the foundations? Where were you when I did these things? When there were no human beings around. God, he is offering a moment to Job, which is a moment for us. And for all of the people who don't believe. Who don't believe that our great God created all that we see. For we are reading these words and considering the implications of our very own thoughts in how we speak and present ourselves to God. We don't take ourselves before God's throne in an arrogant way. Because injury has come to you in some form in your life. And you go to your prayer closet and you slam the doors. And you want an audience with God. And tell him, why did you let this happen? And then God, in a quiet way, will let us know, you see your attitude? This is why I let it happen. This is why you need reproof. You need sharpening. We forget that at times. We forget who we are. And we present ourselves before God. This is no small matter. And he has given us opportunity. So few on the face of this earth can see these words and drill down into them and get that knowledge and be filled at God's table as we sit here today. In the next scripture, King David speaks to God in a manner we have to observe in our daily connection to him. Psalm 71, verse 6. Psalm 71, verse 6. Let's see, we'll read down through verse 8. It says, "By you have I been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day." You hear any hint of arrogance here? I don't see that. It is a man who is truly thankful, who is humble in the sight of his God. And he thanks him on a daily basis about the wonders, about he becoming a wonder to many. The wondrous works of our great God has made a wonder of his servant King David. You are a wonder simply because you have allowed God to put within you the knowledge and the keys to the kingdom. Men and women in this world stand from afar and they wonder, what nature of man is this? When they see you, what nature of man is this? They want to know who you are. It's almost as like we don't reside here. He speaks of a time and a language I do not understand, many will say. I remember years ago when we were at the feast sites, patrons in the world would make comment as to the orderly behavior of our children and how we presented ourselves to those establishments. They were just a marvel. And we spent years reaping compliments like this. I've never seen that many kids in one place that are so orderly. They're not screaming and kicking. And we're humble when things are injurious to us and we thank them, say, oh, okay, you know, that's out of your control. And it's a, man, this guy should be walking on the ceiling by, right about now. No. We don't operate like that. We don't show the ways of God by being of the world. We show the world that we are not of the world, but yet we walk. We walk this earth. Let us look at some of the wonders of old that God, that our God, performed for his children, but with a different outcome. Many did not pay and heed them. Let's go back to the book of Psalms, if you're still there. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 10. And we'll do a little reading here down through verse 32 to get the point here. Psalm 78, verse 10. That's where we'll start. And they did not keep the covenant of God. They refused, Israel, to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And he made the waters to stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness, gave them drink in abundance, like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused water to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more, verse 17, they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God, verse 18. They tested God in their hearts by asking for the food of their fancy. They spoke against God, and they said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" They asked that question. Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Still. Can he provide meat for his people? Still. More questions. Verse 21, therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. Furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God, did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above, open the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in a south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sands of the sea. And he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. So they ate and they were filled. For he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving. And while their food was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came down against them, slew the stoutest of them, struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, verse 32, they still sinned. And they did not believe in the wondrous works of God. They didn't do it. After all of this, what was God to do? God had presented a full plate of wonders for them to observe and to take to heart. But as we witness in these words, they simply did not care. They did not care. Let us read again here in Psalm 78, verse 33 through 42. It says, therefore their days he consumed in futility, and their years in fear. When he slew them, when they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God, then they remembered. Then they remembered God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, he flattered him with their mouths and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness, grieved him in the desert. In verse 41, it says, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. Here we see sadness in these words of Israel of old, and how God had to punish and correct. But what about us in this day and age? Where are the wonders of God? Does God even remotely deal with us as he did with ancient Israel? In today's society, man has pretty much dismissed the miracles and wonders in this day and age. You see, the credibility of the miracles and wonders is established by evidence of the senses on the part of those who witness them, and to all others by testimony of such witnesses. If you can't see it, smell it, taste it, touch it, it didn't happen. Did not happen. The witnesses was competent. The testimony is trustworthy. Unbelievers deny that any testimony can prove a miracle, because they say miracles are impossible. Impossible. How say you? Are miracles impossible in this day and age? Psalm 40 in verse 5. Psalm 40 in verse 5 says, many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done And your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Acts 2 and verse 10. Acts 2 and verse 10, it says, Phrygia and Philia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in their own tongues. They didn't have a universal translator back then, like Star Trek. You know, speak your own language and they could hear you in whatever language you speak. Their own languages in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. In verse 12, and so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? What is happening? What is going on? The wondrous works of God is alive and well in this day and age. Look about you. Someone in this room has had an intervention by our great God that has publicly and privately bore fruit that was not physically possible. You know anybody like that? Read the church prayer list. I read of these miracles continually. Yes, God in all his glory is alive and well. It is so few of us in this day and age that we don't get the publicity for the world to see. Because it's the quiet moments of God's people that these miracles come to us. And when we're in the presence of, say, the medical establishment where we sometimes go, and God is working these miracles, and they said, oh, wait a minute. That can't be possible. Run some more tests. Remember me saying that many who were told, go home and be comfortable. Your time is at an end. 6 months later, he's back in for a checkup. Whoa, wait a minute. That guy should be dead. No. If there's work for us to be done here on this earth, you will do it. You will do it. Because God will make that way until it's done. And then you go to your sleep. There's work for all of us to do here on this earth. We don't know our days. And we don't know what God has in store for us in the work that we continually do before his throne. We're in the physical. But if you can see God's throne now, and you see the angels that are about him that's going to and fro, if you could see them, it's just a whirlwind of things going on. We are in a whirlwind of physical things going on here on this earth. Doing the will of God. And as I've said, the wondrous works of God is alive and well today. Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance, signs and wonders and mighty deeds. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Hebrews 2 and verse 4. The birth of our elder brother, Jesus Christ, was a wondrous event. The Holy Spirit implanted a seed in a physical woman. And the result was a branch and the root of Jesse, sent from God that man can be saved. The wonders of God is before us continually. Do you believe it? Do you believe the signs that are in front of you? Or do you believe that the thing that you do is of your own will? Is of your own doing? Another wonder of God's work is in your hand right now. That Bible that you hold. Wonderful book. Can't be beat. Still bestseller. Still bestseller. People are still buying this book. Can't understand it, but they're still buying this book. And it's the one that you hold in your hand. It's the miracle that we get to touch every single day. If we see nothing else, if we hear nothing else, you get to hold in your hand a miracle inspired by God. And men with their own minds, I have my own mind, let me write this. No, this is what you're going to write. And so in this book, the ways of man did not change it. Some, they did. But the core of this book, it's all God. It's all there from Him. And in Luke 11 and verse 28, Luke 11 verse 28, it says, "But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is why this book is in front of you. That every day, you say, "God, that's kind of hazy. It's not clear to me." He said, "Go back to your book. Go back to your book, sit under your fig tree, and read it again." The wonders of God is the knowledge that you possess of that coming kingdom. "That you may walk worthy of the Lord." Colossians 1, verse 10. "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." The wonders of God come to us in our time of need, and God relieves us from our pain and suffering. God is our refuge, a strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46 and verse 1. As we have seen, God has revealed to us those wonders He showed to ancient Israel, that they may know them. That they may know. But God has revealed to us through His Spirit. You read that in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. God revealed to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. And there comes a connection. The Spirit in you cannot know another man's. We cannot know God's Spirit. But God has made it possible that we could just get a small rendering of that. We can touch it just a little. To know Him, to feel who He is, and the warmth that comes from Him, that gives us life. We have seen and we know the wonders of our great God, and they are many. And there are many upon this terrestrial ball and in the vastness of space. Nothing is too big or small for God. He made us. as he did so in the universe. Those who will seek to hide from God will find these words of no escape. Isaiah 2 and verse 21. Isaiah 2 and verse 21. To go into the cliffs of the rocks, crags of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. These men will run who will deny God, and they will say there is no God, but yet when this day come, they will have no answer. They will have no answer. They will have fear. It says, these are the things and the ways of the man, not a man, but God, who have made all things. Because the wicked will seek escape, and there will be no place found. And as we conclude this message, a question for you, before we read the concluding scripture. And that question is, will there be human eyes to see what we're about to read? Will there be human eyes to see what we're about to read? Turn to Isaiah 34 and verse 4. Isaiah 34 and verse 4, it says, all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine, and as fruit falling from a fig tree. With this scripture alone, the wonderful acts of God stand clear, undeniable. God the Father is a mystery to all mankind because of his greatness. But the day will come when the children of God is gathered and presented to the Father, and then the mystery of God will be revealed to his children. And mystery will vanish, and we will know him as he is, like his Son, Jesus Christ.